ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम द 10th कैंटो ऑफ द श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 18 व्हिच इज एंटाइटल्ड लॉर्ड बलराम स्लेज द डीमन प्रलंब टेक्स्ट नंबर 28 अथागत स्मृतिरभयो रिपुंबलो विहाय सार्थम इव हरन्तमात्मनः रुषाहनच्छिरसि दृढेन मुष्टिना सुराधिपो गिरिमिव वज्ररंहसा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन: रिमेंबरिंग द एक्चुअल सिचुएशन द फियरलेस बलराम अंडरस्टूड that the demon was trying to kidnap him and take him away from his companions. The Lord then became furious and struck the demon's head with his hard fist, just as Indra, the king of the demigods, strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt weapon. Purport: Lord Balaram's powerful fist came crashing down upon the demon's head, just as a huge lightning bolt comes crashing into a mountain, cracking its stone surface into pieces. The words vihaya sartham iva may also be divided vihaya sa artham iva, meaning that the demon was flying in the sky on the cosmic path vihaya sa with the purpose of carrying off Balaram, who was his artham, the object of pursuit. There's only about 3 or 4 shlokas, so we are supposed to also read that and finish the chapter. Next verse: thus smashed by Balaram's fist, Pralamba's head immediately cracked open. The demon vomited blood from his mouth and lost all consciousness. And then with a great noise, he fell lifeless on the ground like a mountain devastated by Indra. Text 30. The cowherd boys were most astonished to see how the powerful Balaram had killed the demon Pralamba, and they exclaimed, "Excellent, excellent." Text 31. They offered Balaram profuse benedictions and then glorified him who deserves all glorification. Their minds overwhelmed with ecstatic love, they embraced him as if he had come back from the dead. Text 32. The sinful Pralamba having been killed, the demigods felt extremely happy and they showered flower garlands upon Lord Balaram and praised the excellence of his deeds. Thus ends the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 18th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralamba. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnana Pravesham Om Krishna. So, we are reading the conclusive verses of this chapter, which is entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralambasura. And this particular chapter begins with a verse where Shukdev Goswami describes the entry of Lord Krishna and all the cowherd boys in Vrindavan. And he explains their entry by saying, Anugiyamano Nyavishad Vrajam Gokula Manditam. Nyavishad means they were entering into Gokula Manditam. All of them together were entering into Gokul, Vrindavan. And while they were entering into Vrindavan, the activity of all the gopas is explained. All the gopas, the cowherd boyfriends of Lord Krishna, all devotees of Lord Krishna, their primary activity as they were entering into Gokul was Anugiyamanaha. Anugiyamana means that they constantly chanted the glories of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. They were constantly chanting and singing the glories of the Lord, and that is the characteristic feature of Vrindavan. In the material world, everyone is also engaged in the process of glorification. Glorification is just a characteristic feature of the soul. One cannot be without singing glories. It's only a question of whose glories we sing. In the material world, people generally sing their own glories. It is very common to do anugiyamana. Anugiyamana is just, we can't avoid it. We just can't help it. It's just a matter of whom we sing about. And most people love to sing about themselves because it gives such incredible pleasure to the false ego. At the drop of a hat, people are willing to start talking. And every now and then they can just start talking about themselves and start telling what are the feathers in their cap. You know, myself and Brajbihari Prabhu, we were once in Hyderabad and we went to a university program, a college program. And in the college program, the dean of the college, there were about 2,500 students who attended the talk. Myself, Brajbihari Prabhu, both of us spoke and the dean was also to speak. So first both of us spoke. And then after we spoke, this man came, the dean came and he started talking. And all he did was he spoke about himself. He started talking about what are the changes he made in this university, how he is responsible for the education system here, blah, blah, blah. And then I was surprised that he started glorifying each of his teachers. So I was thinking, how did he change? All the while he was talking about himself, and suddenly he started talking about each of the teachers and glorifying each of the teachers. And then when he finished talking about each of the teachers, then he said, and all of these teachers are the wonderful feathers that decorate my hat. You know? And I was thinking, look at this man. Look at his audacity. That is calling all of these teachers at this top as the feathers that decorate his hat. And then I realized that his whole effort and the exercise was meant to ultimately say that they are my teachers and they're working under me and I am the one who's doing it. My God, glorification one cannot avoid. Anugiya Manaha means singing the glories, and people just are always singing one's glories. Once a husband and a wife, a couple, my God, they were into, the wife would say how her relatives are wealthy and he would say how his relatives are wealthy, how they are better, how they are, happens all the time, you know. They were just talking about each of their sides, and one day the husband said, okay, okay, I admit defeat, okay, I admit that, you know, your in-laws are greater than mine. I admit, yours is everything greater, so I admit that your in-laws are greater than mine. My God, Anugiya Manaha is just a characteristic feature of this world. People will glorify themselves and everything about themselves because it just gives such pleasure to the ego. And if they start glorifying someone else, that glory is also because it gives pleasure to the ego. Which football team is glorified? That football team which I like. You know? And they sing songs about it. You go to England. You know, and now in India as well, even in Bombay. Travel to England, travel to Bombay, travel all over the world, and you see how soccer fans will sing. If you ever pass by the Wembley Stadium close to, in Western London, and you see the soccer match going on between Man United and Chelsea, and if Manchester United wins, you will see all the thousands and thousands of fans loudly sing, glory, glory, Man United. Glory, glory, Man United. Glory, glory, Man United. And the Reds go marching on. Why can't they sing the Chelsea song? Blue is the color, you know. Chelsea is the name. They can sing that song also. It doesn't matter which team. It's a question of, if this is my favorite team, then well. I glorify that team, not because that team is great, but because I like the team. I glorify a particular speaker of the Bhagavatam, not because he gives good or bad class, but because I like the speaker. I glorify a certain singer of Kirtan, not because he sings devotionally or not, but because I like the person. You know? And therefore, Anugiya Manaha means singing the glories. Just how the world is. Everyone loves to sing about oneself. Or everyone wants to sing about others because it pleases oneself. At the end of the day, I am the center. If I sing my own glories or if I sing others' glories, at the end of the day, I should feel pleased and happy. Vrindavan is exactly the opposite. In Vrindavan also, Anugiya Manaha happens. Singing of the glories happens. But the central focus of Vrindavan is that everyone wants to serve Krishna, everyone wants to sing the glories of Krishna, because it is not about how it pleases me, but how it pleases Krishna. Vrindavan means to please Krishna. Vrindavan means to serve Krishna. Wherever devotees come together and put effort to sing the glories of Krishna, to please Krishna, wherever devotees come together and put an effort to serve Krishna, that is Vrindavan, you know. That is a characteristic feature of Vrindavan. Anugiya manaha nyavishat vrajam gokulamandidam. So this chapter opens with everyone walking together, all the cowherd boys walking together along with Lord Krishna and thousands of cows. And it is characterized by anugiya manaha. And the disciples of Srila Prabhupada translate as they were singing the glories of Krishna constantly. That is Braj Bhumi, where everyone comes together to serve and please Krishna. 1977, devotees decided to come to Mayapur from all over the world. And what was amazing is they hired a jumbo jet. Devotees from all over the globe were going to come to Mayapur and everyone was going to be a devotee on that plane, which is a very unique thing. I remember in the earlier days when we used to go for yatras, then we would have coaches booked and it would be all the devotees in the coaches, but still it would be only two or three coaches. The whole train was not devotee train still. This plane, everyone was going to be devotees. The plane took off from Los Angeles and then arrived into New York and picked up the devotees, came to London Heathrow and picked up the devotees further. And the last stop to pick up the devotees was Frankfurt. It was a jumbo jet, you know. And when the plane arrived in Frankfurt, the final devotees arrived in, and there were 355 devotees. The whole plane was filled only with devotees. There was no one else. Men on one side, ladies on the other. Devotee plane. And all the men had shaven heads, sparkling clean shaven heads. Even Prabhupada's times, devotees would have shaven heads and all the ladies had their heads covered. And as the plane took off from Frankfurt, devotees realized it's time for Mangal Arati. So it is the only time in the history of the world that there was a Mangal Arati on a plane with 355 devotees singing. And the devotees just got in such an ecstatic mood that they took their seat belts off and they started running up and down the aisle doing Anugiya Mana, chanting Mangal Arati prayers and chanting Hare Krishna. So the cabin crew was worried. The only people who didn't know what, they didn't know what to expect, you know. Suddenly all these people start getting up. And the captain announced that all the passengers are requested to sit down. So finally, with great hesitance, the cabin crew had to steady down the ecstasy of all the devotees and everyone sat and fastened their seat belts. And the plane landed in Kolkata. This was the first jumbo jet to land in India. You know. Never before a jumbo jet had landed in India. It was the first jumbo jet to land in India and it was Kolkata. And the government, the local government of Kolkata thought, what a privilege. That the first jumbo jet to land in India is going to be land in Kolkata. So they all thought that we should welcome the high esteemed passengers who are coming. I mean, who is coming? First jumbo jet landing in India. So they had a 40-piece brass band to welcome the passengers. So as the plane landed and the doors opened, all the devotees were walking out of the... Everyone dhoti kurta sari, so the people were shocked that these are the passengers who are coming and the devotees were shocked with the brass band welcome. So both parties were in an utter state of shock, you know. Nevertheless, as things steadied down, what was coming was much better. There were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of photographs of Srila Prabhupada's movement in society, ISKCON, from all over the globe, in the US, in the UK, in Europe, all over the globe, all his projects, all his temples, all his deities, all his farm communities, hundreds and hundreds of pictures devotees had brought. And now they all had to be transported to the coach, which would take them to Mayapur, you know. And then all the devotees formed a chain, a human chain of 355 devotees to shift each of those pictures to the coach, which took them to Mayapur. You know, and all the pictures took about 45 minutes to 1 hour to be shifted to the coach. And then all the pictures were brought to Sridham Mayapur. And one devotee who was on the plane, His Grace Kripamaya Prabhu, he was telling the story while I was in London recently. And he was sharing, at that point of time, he saw Vrindavan in action, where 355 devotees were all together chanting the names of the Lord and serving Srila Prabhupada's mission, serving Krishna by shifting all of these pictures. And all of these pictures were put in the long building. And as Prabhupada was walking, he was looking at those pictures sideways. And Prabhupada saw the pictures. He had such a smile on his face. seeing that from nothing, something had come up. There was nothing. He went to America with nothing. And now there was something. And it wasn't just ordinary something, a special something. With so many amazing temples, so many devotees, so many projects, so many farm communities, you know. And Kripa Mahaprabhu was saying, this is Vrindavan, where all the devotees have one purpose. They all come together and cooperatively do one thing, anugiya manaha, serve the Lord and sing His glories, you know, sing His names. Kirtan is of four kinds, you know. Kirtan is of four different kinds. Anugiya manaha. The first kind of kirtan is called Naam Kirtan. Glorifying the Lord by chanting His names. And Naam Kirtan is of two kinds. One is Japa and second is Sankirtan. And therefore all of us do Japa. You know, along with Japa we do some Jhopa also. But nevertheless, all of us do Anugiya Mana every morning. How much that is glorification is another question, but there is Japa, you know. And Srila Prabhupada was constantly chanting Japa. One time he was in a studio for a recording. And as he was sitting in the studio for the recording, the assistant in the studio, the tech assistant, was hearing a humming sound, you know. And he wasn't able to trace what is the source of the sound because he wanted pin drop silence for recording. He said, that kind of sound. You know, if you keep quiet, silent, you'll see kind of a sound, a background noise. So he was finding that background noise. So he was trying all his equipment. Where is the sound coming from? And finally he traced the wire of a microphone to find out where the sound is coming from. And Prabhupada was sitting chanting the holy name, you know. Constantly chanting. He was constantly chanting the holy names of Krishna. So Anugiya Mana, the first part of Kirtan is Naam Kirtan, which is Japa. And the second kind of Naam Kirtan is Sankirtan. Srila Prabhupada was once sitting in the terrace at Juhu. The property was just coming to us. And as he was sitting at the terrace, Haridas Prabhu was fanning him. 7 o'clock in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada said, Haridas, can you hear? And he tried. He had an amused look on his face. Srila Prabhupada again looked at Haridas Prabhu and said, Haridas, can you hear? He said, what, Srila Prabhupada? He said, the sound of Kirtan? He said, no, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked, that's my question. It is 7 o'clock in the evening. Where is the Kirtan? 7 in the evening, why is there no Kirtan happening? And Haridas Prabhu said, Prabhupada, all have gone to South Bombay. All the devotees have gone to downtown Bombay for collecting funds. Prabhupada, he looked at Haridas Prabhu and he said, you know something? Mr. N and us, both of us were trying very hard for this property. We won, he lost. He said to Haridas Prabhu, you want to know what the secret is? Why we won and he lost? He said, I'll tell you what the secret is. And Srila Prabhupada looked at Haridas Prabhu and said, you know, he said, Mr. N was established in Bombay and we were just a bunch of new people. He said, Mr. N was very wealthy and we barely had any money to meet with our daily requirements. He said, Mr. N was extremely influential and we knew no one here. He said, Mr. N was the sheriff of Bombay. He owned the Free Press Journal, one of the third biggest newspaper then. He said, despite all of that, he had everything to win and he lost. And we had nothing to win and we won. He looked at Haridas Prabhu and asked, you want to know what the secret is? Haridas Prabhu said, yes, Prabhupada. And I'm sure all of us are also wanting to know. Whenever it comes to secret things, na? Everyone says, please tell immediately. We are also wanting victory, tell us. Srila Prabhupada said, Mr. N was fighting for his personal desire and we were fighting to please Krishna. And at the end of the day, because we were trying to please Krishna, Krishna gave us this victory And he said, all our victory did not come by our endeavors or our over endeavors. He said, all of these devotees are going and collecting. He said, they should collect funds. But as soon as it's 5 o'clock, they should leave wherever they are and come back to the temple and chant kirtan. Because when one chants kirtan, that kirtan is pleasing to Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased, all success will come. And then Srila Prabhupada made a statement. He said, if kirtan is missing in the endeavors of devotees, they are no better than the hard, struggling, materialist karmis who are just working for their personal desire. If kirtan is missing in the life of devotees, then it is just hard work like everyone else. He said, that was the difference between Mr. N and us, that we had kirtan to please Krishna, and because Krishna was pleased, victory came, you know. And therefore, the first aspect of Anugiyamana means Nam Kirtan. The second aspect of Anugiyamana means to chant not the holy name, but the glorify the qualities, the form and the pastimes of the Lord, which is called Guna Kirtan, Rupa Kirtan and Leela Kirtan. That is the second aspect of glorifying Krishna. Like we discussed from the Bhagavatam. We are talking from the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are talking from the Gita, we are glorifying the form, the qualities and pastimes of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote all these purports. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada translated all these books, you know, so that we can glorify Krishna and sing His glories. We are every day chanting japa and chanting some kirtan, but it's also important to preach Krishna consciousness, to share Krishna with others. And sharing Krishna with others doesn't essentially mean being on the front line and giving a big lecture. We don't have to do that. Sharing Krishna doesn't essentially mean we go hunting for a new person to talk to. Doesn't mean that. Sharing Krishna means that two devotees can come together and talk about the qualities of Krishna, talk about the pastimes of Krishna from the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is precisely why Srila Prabhupada gave these commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam for Anugiyamana. So that we can sing His glories. There is no choice but to glorify. We simply have to substitute that with Krishna. And therefore the second aspect of Kirtan is Guna Leela, Rupa Leela, Rupa Kirtan and Leela Kirtan. The third aspect of glorifying Krishna is neither chanting His name, nor talking about His qualities and His pastimes, but discussing sheer management. When devotees come together for a management meeting, they don't talk about the holy name. They don't start talking about a pastime from Bhagavatam. They start talking, this ex-Prabhu is a problem. This why Mataji is thinking she's too smart. You know. They start talking about issues. They start talking about all kinds of things. But when they do that, to assist in the Sankirtan movement, even that is Kirtan. Even that is Kirtan. Someone may say, "Are." They're talking about how to manage, how to get permissions, how to get stamps on papers, legal issues, legal cases, court cases, and discussing how to solve that so that devotees can hear and chant properly is also Anugiyamana. And for Grihasthas, talking about how to make money, how to invest money, how to grow the money in a way that can be used to assist the spreading of the glories of the holy name is also Sankirtan. Sometimes in the Krishna consciousness movement, talks apart from the holy name and apart from the Bhagavatam are considered Maya. When the purpose is to assist the Sankirtan movement, even something as mundane as business, even something as mundane as talking about money and how to invest money is Kirtan. Arjuna's yells and cries and howls on the battlefield to kill the people was Kirtan. He was howling sometimes. Howling at the top of his voice. Kshatriyas don't sit peacefully and say, I'll kill you. They don't do like that. The battlefield is a place where there is tumultuous sound. Sashabdas tumulo bhavan. Weapons are making sound. Kettle drums are making sound. And every warrior, I'm mar dunga and all that. They shout and they kill and they shoot arrows. It's not a peaceful thing. You know. His howling, his screaming, which had nothing to do with chanting Hare Krishna, which had nothing to do of talking of Krishna as Bhakta Vatsal, Krishna as Karuna Sindhu, no, was Sankirtan. You know, in the early days of the movement, the devotees were struggling. There was hardly any money. Prabhupada would chant a kirtan, And after the kirtan was over, he would pass a basket around. And when the basket would be passed around, some 3, 4, 5, 10 dollars would come, and that was how the day would go, based on whatever money would come. And what was the Vyasasana for Srila Prabhupada? The first Vyasasana in ISKCON, do you know? What was the first Vyasasana in ISKCON? It wasn't a very architecturally, you know, beautifully carved Vyasasana. Brahmananda Prabhu found a sofa lying on the street. You know, in India, when you want to dispose something, you don't say, throw it. You sell it second hand. In the West, it is not like that. Furniture kharab ho gaya to raste pe phek deta hai. I mean, people would throng, arey achcha hai, le aate karke le. Brahmananda Prabhu found that old, dilapidated, run-down sofa and he brought that, and that was Srila Prabhupada's first Vyasasana. And he was sitting and chanting kirtan from there, and you know, this some few dollars people were putting in that basket. That was how the movement was running. And what was the food? They didn't have anything to eat. You know, they had hardly anything to eat. The cheapest thing available there was watermelons. They would buy watermelons, consume all the pulp of the watermelon, and then use the watermelon rind, skin, to make sabji out of that. Aapne kabhi khaya kalingad ke, how they call, chilke ka sabji? Anyone has ever eaten? Devotees from those times remember that the rind sabji, oh, that was special. Now there is opulent feast, but that was special, you know. And Brahmananda Prabhu was working at that time. And Srila Prabhupada told him, please don't give up your job. Please don't give up your job, you know. And he said, ultimately we have to offer everything to Krishna, even our salary to Krishna. So he came and said, Prabhupada, how do I give my salary to Krishna? Prabhupada said, you don't worry, give your salary to me, I'll give it to Krishna. I'll give it to Krishna. And Brahmananda Prabhu used to think about it. I'm going around, you know, doing all this work. What is this? Surabhi Swami was in Vrindavan and he came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada, everyone is chanting Radhe, 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 Radhe here in Vrindavan, and I'm counting cement bags and arguing about the price of cement. Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. That argument was kirtan. That is the third variety of kirtan, which is not directly assisted to upagiyamana, but assists the upagiyamana, or singing the glories of Krishna and spreading the glories of Krishna. And the fourth variety of kirtan, which is the best. There is no substitute to this kirtan. One can do all the three, but there is no substitute to this fourth kirtan. And the fourth kirtan is the excellent example as a devotee. One can glorify Krishna more by one's example than by singing the holy name, than by preaching Krishna consciousness, than by earning and give money to Krishna. An excellent example of a devotee can change more hearts than hundreds of words spoken in a powerful sermon given from a Vyasasana. You know? And I've been sharing this story all over. Amazing story. It really inspired me. And I told the story in Mayapur Yatra last time, but I've never spoken it on this forum yet. Last year, when we had our Kaf Parade, Kulava Rathyatra, the Rathyatra committee was falling short of funds by 100,000 rupees, 1 lakh rupees. And one of our devotees, who is a very affluent devotee, lives in the Kaf Parade area, downtown. And he was asked by the committee, can you chip in some more money? He said, well, I have given enough, but I can ask one of my friends. So he went to the friend and requested, can I get some money for this festival that we are celebrating, the Rath Yatra festival? This man said, well, I can give you some money. I'm sorry to say that you come a little late. In the last 4 weeks, I have given 400,000 rupees away. 4 lakh de diya main pehle. So now you have come and it's beyond my budget now. Charity-wise, I'm done with the money. He's a wealthy man. He said, but since you have come and you are one of my close friends, I will give you 25,000 rupees. You take this. In any case, the funds were collected. The Rath Yatra happened. Not many people know the story. Even the people who are on the committee don't know the story. You know, many people don't know the story. This devotee personally told me, who went to collect that money from his friend. And then the Rath Yatra happened. The day of the Rath Yatra, everyone is in bliss, chanting Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, which is glorifying Krishna, obviously. Anugiyamana, it was excellent glorification of the Lord. But many times we can be very self-absorbed in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness that we are not sensitive to the needs, interests and concerns of the people around us. You know, that can happen a lot of times. You know, we live in our own shells. We live in our own world as ISKCON devotees sometimes. We've created a kind of shell for ourselves and we are within our own world and we don't care a heck for what happens to the world. We don't care a fig for what others think about us. There is no sensitivities to the people around. Human, basic human sensitivities. You know, and we can see that example. I mean, I can talk on that for the next 2 hours of how lack of human sensitivities and examples from our congregation, not even outside in the world, you know, in the name of absorption and transcendence in Krishna consciousness, you see. So this man, all the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna, Jai Jagannath, Jai Baldev, an ecstatic kirtan going on. And the cart of Lord Jagannath bumped into a Mercedes-Benz car that was parked on the side of the road and made a big dent in the car while the Rath Yatra was going on. Made a big dent in the car, you know. And no one was watching. There was no one around to even see that the dent was made. No one was around to see what was happening. And one of the devotees, I don't know who he is. If I can find out who that man is, you know, would probably just go and bow down at his feet. I don't know who that man is. And I asked this devotee who it was. He doesn't know who it is. One of the devotees in this procession took a slip of paper and wrote on the piece of paper, "Respected sir, this is the procession for Lord Jagannath that we are participating in. And our cart has bumped into your car and has created this dent. We shall repair this dent for you at our cost. Please contact me at such and such number." He didn't write his name. And stuck this slip of paper in the wiper of the car. You know? And the procession went ahead. It was a successful Rath Yatra, fantastic festival. And after a couple of weeks, this devotee who is a friend of mine, lives in Kafparet, Kulaba, he received a phone call from the same guy whom he had gone to collect money from, who had given 25,000 rupees. He said, "My Mercedes car was parked on the side of the road and your procession cart bumped into it." Matlab car bhi kaun sa chuna Jagannath ne? 25,000 rupiah diya, uske hi car mein jaake, you know, made a dent. And you know, generally what we would have said, "Hey, good, good. Jagannath, give him more mercy, you know. That karmi fellow, he needs some more mercy. Give him some more mercy." You know, that man was amazed. He told this devotee, he said, "I cannot express in words how impressed I am with your people. That your people are perfect gentlemen. No one would have ever come to know that this dent in the car was made because of your cart. But he took the trouble to put it there and took the responsibility to repair it at his own cost." He said, "Next year onwards, whatever money I give in charity will go for your Rath Yatra." Yeah. You know, I have no idea if it went this year or not. But he did promise that. And I was thinking, what an incredible way to glorify Krishna. No kirtan would have reached that man's heart. No speaking of Bhagavatam class would have reached that man's heart. But this example, shining example of a devotee, this touched his heart so much that he was inspired to serve Krishna now. You know, therefore Srila Prabhupada said, "You will know my followers by seeing how they are perfect ladies and gentlemen. As they say, action speaks louder than words. Upagiya manaha means to glorify Krishna. And one can glorify Krishna and spread the glories of Krishna without even having to open one's mouth. By just being such a perfect lady or such a perfect gentleman that the whole world thinks, wow, amazing. These people are just amazing people. I don't know about Krishna. I don't know about anything else in the Bhagavatam or anything. But if this is what it means to be a Hare Krishna, I don't mind being a Hare Krishna." You know? So in any case, the chapter begins with this episode where Krishna enters into Vrindavan along with all the cowherd boys doing Anugiya Manaha or singing his glories. As they enter into Vrindavan, what's amazing is, it is a summer season. And the summer season is an extremely hot season. And Shukadeva Goswami explains, Grishma Nama Ritur Abhavan. Suddenly the Grishma Ritu, the summer season started. And in the summer season, Na Ati Prayan Sharirinaha. Those who are embodied, Sharirinaha, Na Ati Prayan. No one likes this season. I think we can relate to it a lot in Bombay. You know, that we don't like this season at all. I came from England just a couple of days back, just 3 or 4 days back. And while I was there, when I reached England, the temperature on the lowest side was -3. And on the higher side was 2 degrees when I just reached there for 2 weeks. And in the spring season, it started snowing. It was freezing cold, you know. And I came back and the brahmacharis in Wada said, Prabhuji, from the airport, you come straight to Wada. You will get good rest. I said, yeah, I'll rest in peace forever. Coming from the cold weather and going to 42 degrees Celsius. My God. Shukadeva Goswami says, Na ati prayan. No one likes. Kisi ko pasand nahi hai. Sharire neha. You know. Summer season started, you know. In Vrindavan. Quite amazing. His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj once said, he said, pleasure in this world you can find only in 2 places. One is in the spiritual world, second is in imagination. These are the only 2 places where pleasure exists. Otherwise, there's no pleasure. One place where it exists is Krishna, Goloka. Second is in imagination, Kara, ane tak maja hai. Marriage, haan, hone tak maja hai. Brahmacharya ashram, aane tak maja hai. No one is an exception. No one under the sun on this planet is an exception to the nature of this world. Pleasure can exist only in 2 places, spiritual world and in imagination. Otherwise, everywhere there is something to keep us miserable. A but is always there. You got a first rank in the college. You know, everything is going fine, but it is so hot. The weather is fine, but I failed the exam. I passed the exam and the weather is fine, but found out that I have a terminal disease. There's always a but to keep life miserable. You know, to keep life miserable, you see. And therefore, all the cowherd boys along with Krishna enter into Vrindavan and it is the summer season. And who likes the summer season? Na ati prayan. Sharirinaha. Kisi ko pasand nahi hai. Who likes it? No one. Anyone likes to fail the exam? No one. Anyone likes misunderstandings? No one. Anyone likes conflicts? No one. Anyone likes a disease? No one. Na ati prayan. But, a part of the game. Just comes. You know? Struggle is the name of the game. Prakritihi sthanim karshati. Karshati. Weather is there to do karshati. Sometimes it's just weather. My God, in Bombay, oh God, the heat is can get and it's just April yet. It's just April and when it gets to May, my goodness, weather just gets on to us sometimes. Gets on to us. In London, if it goes 33, 34, some people die. I am not joking. There have been deaths reported at 35 degrees Celsius. Bol, hum kaise marte nahi? Idhar 35 degree chal raha hai. 35 degrees, people die in London sometimes because of the heat strokes. You know. Na ati prayan sharirinaha. Radhakund Prabhu once told me a poem. By the rule, man is a fool. When it's hot, he wants it cool. When it's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what is not, you know. It's quite a poem. Someone told him and he was telling me this poem. Weather is what it is, you know. And what a nice hall, isn't it? Thank God. Katha sunne ke liye to thoda. Sometimes devotees say, Prabhuji, thoda lamba katha karo. Bar bar, thoda lamba. No problem, you can speak longer. It's good to sit in a nice air-conditioned environment. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, when the Bhaktivedanta Hall was made air-conditioned, then he came out and he said, now it's truly AC Bhaktivedanta Hall. It's truly AC Bhakti Vedanta Hall. You see, so I think there is something. And we can always camouflage, isn't it? By having a nice air conditioning, we can camouflage material nature by saying, well, you can't get on to me, Maya. You're trying to make me suffer, huh, Karashati? But look, I have AC. So where's the question of making me suffer? Then there are other people to cause the heat like the summer. People. If it's not weather, it's people who cause summer in life. Just hot, you know. In India, we remember before there used to be a cigarette brand which came from Bristol, England. And one brand was called Bristol. The other was called Wills. It came from Bristol, England. And there used to be a big advert for Wills cigarettes. A guy and a girl holding hand. I don't know what it has to do with cigarette smoking. But in any case, they held their hands. And it's a big slogan saying, made for each other. And you know what? You know what's the most amazing part of life? Krishna has made someone for us. Each one of us has a package deal to make sure that the heat keeps going. I'm sure each of us can picture in our mind at least one person who, no matter what the hell we do under the sun, just cannot appreciate us. Each one of us can picture in our mind at least a face, one face, who no matter what we do, even if you be the president of the country, you say, so what? To kya hai? Are to kya? What do you mean to kya hai? It's the president of the country. There will always be someone to keep that heat going, you know. Sometimes it's a husband to a wife. Sometimes it's a wife to a husband, you know. Sometimes they say in India when people smile, na, and they have a face smile on their face, it's called hasmukh. You know? Mukh pe smile, hasmukh, you know. And then when he gets married, then he's called husband. Hasmukh. Hasmukh becomes husband. I have to balance it with the other side also. To balance it with the other side also. And the other side is, they say bhoot or achhapati, dono ek jaise hote. Bhoot or achhapati, dono ek jaise hote. Suna to bahut hai, dekha kisi ne nahi. You heard a lot about ghost and heard a lot about a good husband. You've never seen them. Heard about it. There'll always be someone. And people are thinking, oh, these brahmacharis are blissful. The grihasthas are thinking, oh, I think it's only in our families that it's not. And if the husband and wife are both appreciative of each other, then there are the in-laws, there are the friends, the colleagues in office. Are one item is there to keep life miserable. One item is there. Krishna has created him specifically, made for each other. You know, and one is thinking in the brahmachari ashram, life will be okay. They are blissful souls. Hari bol, dancing, chanting. Even you'll find there, no one is spared. Don't ever think life is green on any side. In the material world, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or anyone in between or anyone beyond. Material world means the summer has to be on. The heat has to be on. It'll be the weather to create misery. It'll be people to create misery, or it'll just be life situations. If somehow weather is gone and you are somewhere living in Hawaii, you're in Hawaii. Of course, in India, only thing people know about Hawaii is Hawaii chappal. Maybe living in Hawaii with the excellent weather and things are all, people are all very affectionate and lovely. And then there are life situations, illnesses, conflicts, you know, diseases. My God, I don't know what this world is all about. You know, the heat is always on. You know, Grishma naam ritur abhavan na ati prayan sharirina. Kisko acha lagta hai? Who likes summer? No one likes the heat. Who likes all these conflicts and misunderstandings and personal differences? Who likes illness? Who likes disease? Who likes financial crisis? The markets are going up and down. Go to the UK and you will see the crisis. The economic crisis, and I've been hearing about from so many people while I was in London, how they're going through so much trouble because of the economy is crumbling down. You know, my God, phew, struggle is the name of the game. You see, why Krishna made it like this, you know? There is a plan. There is a plan to keep it all in place, to know that we don't belong here.
We don't want to stay here. We want to go back, you know.
Srila Prabhupada was talking to a devotee. Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I want to be your servant birth after birth after birth.
Prabhupada said, that's okay, you may want to be, but why you want me to come back to make you my servant?
Why you want me to come back to this material world, which is just such a nasty place, full of trouble and problems, you know? You see, the only way is to go back.
There is no other way. No other way. There's only two ways. To take shelter of Krishna while we are here and transcend those problems. And at the end of life, to go back to Krishna. Solving problems, sorry. I'm not here to disappoint. But I can say there are only some factors in our control which we can work on and solve them. But there are many which are just beyond us. What can I do for melanoma cancer that comes down my spine for no fault of mine? I can do a chemotherapy. I can go and take some alternative cow medicines. And I can work on my health. And despite all of my chemotherapies and all of my cow medicines, if nothing works under the sun, what can I do? I can truly do nothing about things that are just beyond me. All I can do is see how I can transcend them while I'm here by taking shelter of Krishna and his devotees. And at the end of life, get out of this heat. Just keeps me burning. Grishma ritur, grishma nama ritura bhavan na ati prayan. Kisi ko pasand nahi hai ye sab. No one likes it. Shukdev Goswami. Read the verses of this chapter and you will find all of these verses there. No one likes. Na ati prayan charirinaha. You know? And as this was happening, summer set in. Suddenly, in Vrindavan, in the summer season, when it was super hot, you know how Vrindavan can be in the summer season? Temperatures can soar up to 50 degrees, 52 degrees sometimes. Soaring up, you go in the month of May, end of May, beginning of June, God, so hot, you know. In the heat of the summer, peak of the summer, suddenly there was spring. You never have spring following summer, do we? That's crazy, isn't it? How can you have the spring season come after the summer season? But in Vrindavan, this is happening. And Shukadeva Goswami says, Sacha Vrindavana Gunair Vasanta Iva Lakshitaha. In Vrindavan, Vasanta Gunair Lakshitaha. There was all qualities of the Vasanta Ritu, the spring season. Why? How did it happen? Yatra Aste Bhagavan Sakshat Saha Ramena Keshava. Yatra aste Bhagavan Sakshat, where Krishna is there, well, spring can come in the summer season. Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Some of you are thinking, Krishna, come, na? Come to Bombay. Yatra aste Bhagavan Sakshat Saha Ramena Keshava. Sacha Vrindavana Gunair Vasanta Iva Lakshita. In the summer season, there was spring. And the whole description, verse after verse after verse, talking about the spring season in Vrindavan. You can read this chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Incredible qualities described. Dewdrops, cool winds, fragrant flowers. My goodness. What a description. What is the definition of the absolute truth, supreme? Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum samarthya. One who has the samarthya. Who is God? One who has the samarthya, the capacity. What kind of capacity? Kartum, to do. Akartum, to undo. Anyatha kartum, to do it some other way. You know, kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum samarthya. In the Brahma Sutras, Shankaracharya explains the absolute as kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum samarthya. He can do, he can undo, and he can do a third thing. Kuch bhi kar sakte hain. Honi ko anhoni kar de, anhoni ko honi. That is Krishna, Krishna. Don't think that song was stolen from this verse. Everyone was ready for fill in the blanks. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum, Samarthya. What can Krishna not do? He can bring spring in Vrindavan when the heat of the peak of summer is going on to facilitate his pastimes. And to protect his devotees, Krishna can do something else also. To protect his devotee Arjun, he can cover the sun with the Sudarshan discus. What can he not do? He can cover the sun with the Sudarshan discus to protect Arjuna from jumping into the fire and save his devotee. Kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. To get his Sita back, he can contradict the law of gravity by making stones float. Are naam likhne se kya hota hai? You can write hundreds of names and stones don't float. Ram naam, all the monkeys are writing, and if Krishna decides they should not float, despite writing the name, it'll sink. You know? He can do anything. That is God. Krishna can do anything. Ram can do anything. That is called the absolute truth. Isn't it? He can change the summer to a spring. All of us are thinking, why is he not changing the summer of my life to spring? So much heat going on in my life because of so many problems, so many issues, so many difficulties. Why can't he change the problem? Why can't Krishna just solve the problem? A tiny little baby struggling in the hospital, the child of a devotee, few months old, dying because of a disease. Can't he do something? Can't Krishna come and do something? Poor little baby, helpless. It's like a helpless little bag of flesh, you know. What can the child do? Nothing at all. And sometimes we are expecting, why can't God change things? Look in Vrindavan is doing, isn't it? Look what he's doing. Sacha Vrindavana Gunair, Vasanta Guna Lakshitaihi, Yatra Aste Bhagavan Sakshat, Jahan Sakshat Bhagavan Virajman Hai, Yatra Aste Bhagavan Sakshat. Then summer is becoming spring. And why summer becoming spring? Our Acharya's comment, Krishna can bring all six seasons in one day to facilitate his pastimes. So we are thinking, while this child is going through all of this, why can't he be akartum and undo it? He is kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. He can do, he can undo, he can do it other ways. Why doesn't he change situations? I'll tell you, many times we have very highly unrealistic expectations from Krishna. We are always reading these pastimes, reading these books and thinking Krishna will come for me. Why should Krishna come for me? You know, Krishna will come for me. Krishna should come for me. Arre, itne saal se mala ghis raha hun, kyun nahi karta kuch? Itna saal se mala ghis gaya, mala abhi wo pura wear out ho gaya, naya lena padega. Constantly chanting, serving, and all of you are saying, be in association. I am in association. I am in association, chanting so many rounds. Why the problem is not going away? You know? Why the problem is not going away? If he can do anything, why doesn't he just solve the problem? My God. You know? It's a question in so many people's minds. Everywhere I go, people keep questioning this, especially in relation to devotees. None of you have the slightest idea here. None of you sitting here have the slightest idea, except for Radhakund Prabhu, if he's sitting somewhere around in the class. When we went to Nepal last year to get these devotees back, their bodies back after that air crash, and entering into the morgue and seeing those bodies, none of the devotees here have the slightest clue what it meant to see those dead bodies, you know. And more than that, no one here has the idea of how angry some of those people were with the devotees. Some of the relatives were with the devotees. I remember sitting there at the airport, at the hospital in Kathmandu, and being a victim of such glances of anger, as if they would burn us down to ashes, as if we were the culprits of having for their death. You know, my God, it was a very serious thing. And just questioning, one of the family members was questioning, they were your Krishna's devotees, right? Krishna's devotees, right? If it was someone else, it's fine. If you don't take shelter of Krishna and the problems come to you, it's fine. If you're Krishna's devotees and Krishna does this to you, why should you be Krishna's devotee? Isn't it a logical argument? Isn't it a logical argument that if you take shelter of Krishna and this is what Krishna does to you, why should you take shelter of Krishna? Why should we chant Hare Krishna? Why should we be devotees of Krishna? Just a natural, logical, reasonable, rational argument. My goodness, I cannot explain to you in words the anxiety and the nervousness that I felt. I'm not nervous generally. To give a talk and answer questions, what's the big deal? You've been doing it for a while, you know. Not a big deal. Anything you can answer, 100 philosophical points you can give. But after having seen this, how do you pacify a relative of a person who's, what's happened to them, you know? My God. Should we expect like this from Krishna? That he can change the summer into a spring? Should we expect from Krishna that he'll make those rough rides or those journeys full of thorns into a rosy, cozy walk? Should we have such expectations or no? Is the question at hand? Is the question at hand? Should we truly do it? Should we pray for it? Should we not pray for it? And even if you pray, it's not that we haven't prayed. How many of us have prayed constantly, Krishna, please solve it. Please solve it. Please solve it. Kidhar, still going on, you know. Still going on and on and on. My goodness. This is not a session to say stop chanting Hare Krishna. Some of you are thinking, abhi bahar jate jate mala idhar dekhe jate. Deposit the beads bag and the bead bag. We'll have to open a counter. Thank you, sir. Anyways, it doesn't work, so better just leave it back, you know. Hare Krishna. Majority of people who come to Krishna are people who are arthas and artharthis. They come to change the summer into a spring. They are in difficulty. They come to Krishna. Krishna, the heat of summer is on. Change it to vasanta. Change the summer into spring. You know, one couple was coming for a JOSD course recently. Elderly couple. And one that man comes and says, Swamiji, ek prashna puchu kya? Bola, boliye na. Bola, Hare Krishna se arthritis jayega na? Bola, I didn't know what to make out of it. You know, I had to give him a philosophical answer, of course. This cup, I'm not joking. This man was seriously asking. Ye jab karne se arthritis jayega na? Artha. People come to Krishna thinking he will change the summer into a spring. Apna arthritis chala jayega. Artharthi. Oh, Krishna will reward me with something and my financial crisis will go. I'll make something out of it. Things will all be sorted out. Suddenly, ek din to aayega jab apna chota sa ek ghar hoga, you know. Nice, everything will be set. Outside a temple, there was a board written, please don't leave your valuables here. People praying inside may think that that's the answer to their prayers. You know, please don't leave your valuables here. They will think that is the answer to their prayers and pick it up and take it away. Most people come here, come to Krishna for that. You know, why does Krishna not respond to all the prayers we are making? Is he a hard-hearted sadist? Is Krishna a hard-hearted sadist? Sitting up there and looking at us and saying, maja chakhaya isko, maja chakhaya. Dekh, dekh, kaisa maja hai. Telling Radha, dekh, kaise. Mere ko chhod ke gaya na? He left me in Golok Vrindavan. Maar isko, maya, laga char aur. Is Krishna like that? A sadist sitting up there enjoying that we are suffering? That the heat of the summer is on? Why does Krishna not respond? I read a beautiful article by Chaitanya Charan Prabhu. A beautiful article. Loved it, you know. Such an amazing answer. Why does Krishna not respond to the prayers that we make that you solve my problems? There are two qualities Krishna has. He is all-powerful, omnipotent, and is all-knowing, omniscient. When we make a prayer, na, we say, Krishna, aisa-aisa problem hai. Aisa-aisa problem hai. आप तो सब कर सकते हैं कर्तुम अकर्तुम अन्यथा कर्तुम सामर्थ्य है यू नो आप वो क्लास में सुना यू कैन डू एवरीथिंग कृष्णा दिस इज माय प्रॉब्लम ट्रबल कृष्णा प्लीज यू नो प्लीज दिस इज द वे यू कैन सॉल्व दिस प्रॉब्लम कृष्णा सो विच मीन्स आई एम बिलीविंग दैट ही इज ऑल पावरफुल बट आई एम नॉट बिलीविंग दैट इज ऑल नोइंग आई थिंक दैट ही डजंट नो द सोल्यूशन And I have to give my intelligent solution. Aise solve karna. Please solve my problem like this, not like this. Krishna knows how to solve the problems. And Krishna is responding to our prayers. The problem is we want him to respond the way we want. The problem is not that Krishna is not responding. The problem is we want Krishna to respond the way we want. This is called half trusting Krishna. Half trusting Krishna means I trust in his omnipotence, in his power that he can solve the problem. But I don't trust his omniscience that he doesn't know how to solve the problem. So Krishna, main batata hu kaise karna hai. Aapko nahi samjhega? Aap Golok wale hai, hum Mumbai wale hai. Aap 500 pehla aaya tha, 500 saal pehle, uske bahut generation gap hai abhi. 500 years back you came as Lord Chaitanya, there is a generation gap. You don't understand these modern day problems. So let me tell you how to solve this issue, okay? So please solve this problem. Krishna responds, not that he doesn't respond. The problem is we want him to respond the way we want. And that will never happen. That will never happen. Especially for his devotees who have taken shelter at his lotus feet, that will never happen. Krishna will never respond back according to our calling. Krishna responds back according to his calling, you know. And therefore, what does Krishna do? He doesn't always make the summer into spring in our lives. Krishna changes our vision. The summer remains summer. But when our vision changes, we see it as spring. Therefore, Prabodhanand Saraswati says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. In the Gita, Lord Krishna calls this world as Dukkhalayam, that this place is full of suffering and trouble and misery and agony. It's Dukkhalayam. It is going to remain Dukkhalayam. It is going to remain like that. You know, world is not going to change. The person who's come, wills made for each other, no matter what you do, he'll still remain like that. Or she will still remain like that. Kitta bhi karo, nahi appreciate karenge humko. And you can't do anything when that melanoma cancer is going down the spine and after every treatment when nothing happens, you can't change it. Can't change it. Many things just beyond us, you know. Absolutely beyond our control. In such a scenario, well, how Krishna responds to our prayer? Krishna responds to our prayer by changing our vision. We no longer see the problem as a problem. As we advance and as we get absorbed in Krishna and our vision changes, of course, it's a tall order and a far distance to go, but this is how Krishna responds. And then the same Dukkhalayam, Prabodhananda says, Vishvam Purna Sukhayate. Sukh ka hai sukh? Where is the sukh? In imagination. You know? But Krishna, he does respond back by changing our vision. A lady, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, staying about, you know, somewhere near Wales, just about an hour's drive from Wales. We were in Wales. And she's a disciple of Prabhupada. She had a 17-year-old son. Amazing. British lady, devotee. And the son, driving a car one day, met with an accident and died on the spot. Her only shelter. And the general response would be, how can Krishna do this to me? He should have understood, nah, this is my only son. Should have changed the summer into a spring. Kuch to kar dena chahiye tha. That lady, amazing. Amazing. As a mother, she cried. She's a mother. She will cry. When we live as human beings amongst families, devotee communities, there will be emotions. There will be relationships. When we saw that episode last year, we all had tears in our eyes seeing all of these devotees leaving. We all have emotions. We're human beings. We're not machines. That lady wept. She cried. She was missing a child. And that's natural. Like Arjun cried for Abhimanyu. When his son Abhimanyu was dead. Natural. For a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, a god brother, a god sister, a god family to cry because there are relationships. What's beautiful about that lady, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, is that she just changed her vision. She just changed her vision. Krishna responded to her prayers and changed her vision to make the summer into a spring. You can go to her house and my God, what a beautiful temple her home is. It wasn't like that before her child left. She has changed her home into such an incredible temple. The beautiful, she's made such beautiful altar. And it's all made of this natural thing. And a whole day is going in how to make the altar, how to worship the Lord. She's totally absorbed with a smile on her face. It's just been about a year now that the child is gone. 17-year-old teenage boy is gone.
I mean, calamities come to everyone, problems come to everyone, that's how the world is. You know, can't change the summer season. And Krishna is not going to make the summer into spring like he did in Vrindavan. But he can change our vision to help us see things in the right spirit. Therefore, it is said, when we can't set things right, at least we can see things right. We can't always set things right. We can, whatever we can, but there are many things that we just can't set right. And when we can't set it right, no issues. We can't set things right, Krishna's kind. Chanting Hare Krishna, being in the association of devotees, practicing Krishna consciousness is such a powerful process. Such a powerful process. That our perspectives to life change and the way we respond to life completely changes. I am just talking out of what I have put on my book after having heard from devotees. I don't have any realization of this. But in this community, Radha Gopinath Mandir, and in so many other devotee communities all over the world of ISKCON, there are sterling, shining examples of devotees who have gone through hell. Literally, hell. But when we look at those devotees, my God, exuberant, happy, satisfied, joyful, smile on their face, no complaining, no cribbing, no blame games. And I'm thinking, wow. Yatra aste Bhagavan Sakshat, Sahrameena Keshava. Wherever there is Krishna and Ram, Balaram. Then even in the summer season, Sacha Vrindavana Gunair Vasanta Iva Lakshitai. The qualities of spring come in the summer season, you know. And so also we find devotees having gone through so much heat, but have spring in their life. Not essentially externally that the problem is solved, but the way they respond to that problem, and that is Krishna. He comes into the heart of a devotee and makes him respond like that. Parikshit Maharaj is being cursed, and Parikshit is sitting there on the banks of the river Ganga and is seeing the curse as Krishna and is knowing how to respond to that curse. Therefore, this is a very beautiful chapter. Of course, there's much more to say from this chapter. Pralambasura comes in the guise of a gopa, disguised as a cowherd boy. And when Pralambasura does enter into the team, Balaram has to carry him because Balaram is defeated by him. And then when Balaram carries Pralambasura, you know, we're reading in this final verses, you know, Balaram just hits Pralamba with a fist and Pralamba is dead. Balaram represents Shri Guru. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath Lalita Vishakha ki Jai. I'll just conclude in 5 minutes. Lord Balaram represents Shri Guru Tattva. Pralambasura represents our anarthas in the form of lust. Gross lust, which is the attraction between the opposite sexes or lust for things. And it also represents subtle lust, which is wanting adoration, prestige, distinction, honored by people. That is Pralambasura. And to struggle against this is very, very difficult. The only way to struggle against this is by the mercy of the spiritual master. On our own, we cannot struggle with these anarthas. Pralamba is very powerful. But Balaram, ek mutti, one mushti. And Pralamba is dead, you know. In 1971, Bangladesh war happened. And when the Bangladesh war happened, all the people from Bangladesh came to Bengal as refugees. At least over 1 million people moved to Kolkata. And our temple was at Albert Road. Few scraggly group of Western devotees, very few devotees. And all over the city there were people, these Bangladeshi people, on the railway stations, on the streets, just 1 million people just moved into the city. The whole city was affected. It was practically like Kolkata was being sieged by the people who came as refugees. And it also affected the temple devotees. You know, it also affected the temple devotees. And the temple devotees were getting restless. Already there were issues. They had just come from America. They didn't know how to use Indian kitchens, Indian utensils. So they had hired a Brahmana cook to cook. Only later they realized he was neither a Brahmana nor a cook. You know. And Giriraj Maharaj, who was then Giriraj Brahmachari, Giriraj Prabhu then, he was staying there and everyone's health went for a toss. And this whole situation affected the devotees in such a bad way. Vishakha Devi, along with Yadubhar Prabhu, was also there, the photographer.
She was staying there at that time in 1971. And as everything was just happening, devotees were so affected, they started arguing and fighting over the slightest little things. You know, they were fighting over things like, you know, there was a bunch of bananas. One said bananas are offered, second said not offered, and there was a whole fight over that. They had read in the Nectar of Devotion that one should not, you know, sit to the deity, towards the deities with the back there, you know. And then they said, but when the curtain is closed, then one can sit. So there was an argument about that. When the curtain is open, you shouldn't. But when the curtain is closed, every little thing devotees were fighting like anything. And like Balaram carried Pralambasur very, very trickily, first took Balaram away from the mainstream of Krishna and the Gopas. Maya tries, you know, to take a devotee away before she attacks. He tries to take a devotee away. Marege kaise? Krishna aur sab gop ek saath hai, Pralamba seedha aa gaya to maar kha ke bhagega Mathura. He came in disguise and took Balaram away first. That's exactly what the material energy does. First take a devotee away. And there was one devotee who was being affected. Vishakha Devi. I heard the story from her just in London now. She said, I can't stay. This devotee, this is just too much. I didn't join a movement like this. I'm going. She had dropped from college. She had still 2 years of college left. In her backpack, there was a crumpled form still left. Filling in the form for her college again. She pulled out the form. Started filling in the form. One of her god sisters, Prabhupada disciple, Chitralekha Devi, she saw this. She said, you're going? You're leaving Prabhupada? You're leaving ISKCON and going back in again, getting to your old ways again? My one request is, please stay till Srila Prabhupada comes. Just wait till Srila Prabhupada comes. You know? She said, okay. And then that became her mantra, along with her chanting Hare Krishna, that was her mantra. Prabhupada is coming, Prabhupada is coming. And in August, Srila Prabhupada came. And in those days, they had that very special British staircase at the Albert Road Temple. Prabhupada walked all the way up there, sat on the Vyasasana. And he gave a short talk, thanked all the devotees for the services. But Prabhupada immediately detected that there is dissension in the temple. Devotees are fighting and Pralamba will attack. Maya will attack. So he said, next day, he called all the devotees, you all come for an Ishtagoshti. So called all the devotees for a discussion. Next morning at 10 o'clock, everyone gathered. And Vishakha Devi also entered into the room. All the devotees came. Two devotees were not present. Prabhupada said, so where are they? They said, Prabhupada, they have services. So we will not start till they come. And Prabhupada waited till their services were over. When all were there, then Srila Prabhupada spoke. And he spoke very simple. Extremely simple things. He said, human life is a life of responsibility. We have to take it seriously. There will be problems. There will be troubles. We should just tolerate them. Tolerance is an important quality in devotee life. He spoke all of these things. And then Srila Prabhupada looked at the devotees and said, so, do you know? When I went and I was traveling, there were so many troubles. So many difficulties. That's a part of the world. Part of life. So many difficulties. And guess what? Srila Prabhupada did not talk about his heart attacks on the Jaladuta. He did not talk about his struggle to get a ticket on the steamship. He did not talk about that crazy David at the loft in New York who was coming to kill him practically. He did not talk about lack of funds and lack of support from people. Srila Prabhupada said, so when I was traveling, there were so many difficulties, so many problems. And I said, can you imagine? I was there in that Butler, Pennsylvania. Can you imagine? And I opened the refrigerator to take my bhoga and there was meat. And he spoke, he didn't even say the word meat. He said it with, he could see his face. Vishakha Devi was saying, you should have seen his face. Such a disgusting look on his face when he said that. He said, meat. He said, can you imagine? I mean, Prabhupada did not even focus on all the, there was no ticket, heart attacks, lack of money, that crazy fellow killing him, so many things happening. And what did he focus on? There was meat, a little thing. And then he looked at all the devotees and said,
And I think we have to just tolerate, you know, we just tolerate. And Vishakha Devi said, when I walked into the room, I walked in like Atlas with a globe. You know that Atlas, picture of Atlas with a globe on the head? I walked in with an Atlas, you know, like that Atlas with a big, huge globe burden on my head. And when I left, I was floating, floating like an eagle soaring in the sky, you know. And she said, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chittete Koriya Aikya, Arana Koriho Mane Asha. All these Anarthas, Pralamba, and all of these demons that they represent, they cannot be dealt just by our own efforts. It is only by the grace of Shri Guru, by pleasing Shri Guru, and by the grace of Shri Guru that these Anarthas can be tackled. Therefore, if you read the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto we find, you know, all these Anarthas, Asankalpa Jayed Kamam, Krodham Kamabhimarashanam, you should deal with lust by determination, anger by giving up envy, and so many things. And the last two lines of this verse, series of verses is, Etad hi sarvam gurur bhaktya. All of these anarthas, lust, envy, anger, all these demons. Etad hi sarvam. That verse says, Etad hi sarvam, ye sab anarth. Gurur bhaktya. By becoming a devotee of Shri Guru, serving Shri Guru and Srila Prabhupada, you know, purushohi anjasa. Easily. Anjasa means easily. Purushohi anjasa jayet. One can conquer these kind of demoniac tendencies like pralamba and all of these anarthas very easily by service to the spiritual master. Therefore, we may talk about chanting and we may talk about seva and we may talk about multiple things in our Krishna consciousness and try to keep struggling hard to deal with these powerful vegas and forces within us. But there is nothing, nothing in spiritual life but the grace of Shri Guru. And therefore, while we are putting all our efforts and all our endeavors and struggles, which we have to, only when it is blessed by Shri Guru's grace, when he is pleased, then dealing with Pralambasura and Vrikavagasura, whatever those anarthas represent, is easy. Tom and Jerry, you know? Tom and Jerry. Jerry always escapes. Funny. Tom is such a powerful cat, Jerry is such a tiny mouse, always escapes. So one day, one mouse asked Jerry, "Tu hamesha bhag kaise jata hai? How do you always escape, you know?" Jerry said, "It's very simple. Tom runs for food, I run for life." You know? Maya is running for her food, us, and we have to run for life. Therefore, we cannot be so busy with our deadlines that we miss our lifelines, you know. There are so many deadlines in life to attend to. Project deadlines, business deadlines, in the temple and outside the temple. Multiple deadlines. In trying to rush after the deadlines, we cannot forget our lifelines, which is Shri Guru and the Vaishnavas. When we hang on to them and try to please them, at least try to, their grace is the means by which we can overcome these powerful forces and demons like Pralambasura. Thank you all very much. Sorry to go 10 minutes over time. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Shri.